pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. I think we've got a great show lined up for you. One of the parts that's not great is Doug Dude is out today. Had a little health issue that had to be resolved. He's taking care of that today. Should be back tomorrow. Look forward to that. But will not be with us today. On today's program, Kurt McKeever from the Lincoln Journal-Star. He's one of the two main beat writers that follows the Husker baseball team. Look forward to catching up with him. We'll also effort Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report, get his take on the spring game. A lot of Husker talk the last two or three days. I think no matter where you went, that's been what people are talking about. That starts to become the buzz. And since, well, Derek Doug's out today, the negativity will stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not looking at
you're,
this.
You're always positive. You're always optimistic, Daddy.
Well, I think you've got to be that way because, first of all, we're fans. We want the team to do well. I don't want to start pessimistically looking at things and saying, boy, this team could go 3-9. I don't think that's a fun way to look and assess the situation at all. And I think with Bo Pelini, he provides such a spectacular outlook. And I think you go back to the day Frank Solich was fired and Bo Pelini had taken a defense that was 56th, 57th, 55th, mid-50s. He took it to an 11th-ranked defense in the country. He took that defense. They get 47 turnovers. They forced 47 turnovers. They were fired. They were dismissed after that season by Steve Peterson and that regime. They bring in Bill Callahan. Kevin Cosgrove never had a defense ranked above the 55, 52 maybe. He never had that defense. Everybody said at that time when Frank Solich got let go, we weren't recruiting the right players. We didn't have the talent to compete with the rest of the Big 12. We didn't physically match up very well with Oklahoma, Texas. We didn't have man-on-man. Everybody was stronger. Everybody was faster than Nebraska was. Well, I'm going to come back at you 4 years later. We've got those players, don't we? That's all Bill Callahan blew up everybody's kazoo was, look at the talent I'm recruiting.
How do you like the fact that Bo Pelini has said he wants to take the new age Bill Callahan players and make them back into the old school kind of Husker players that we're used to having? That's the Husker tradition right there. That's what was lost with Steve Peterson and Bill Callahan. They want to bring in a new system, which obviously is not bad. It's a good system when ran correctly and when you have the right players in there. I just think they kind of went about it with some of the players and kind of lost touch with the tradition there.
How soon, you got to think, this defense, 112th in the nation, 114th in points allowed in the nation at 38 points per game. 116th as far as rushing defense, 232.2 yards per game. 117 in turnover margin. They were last in the Big 12 with sacks with 13. This is a team last year that got 12 turnovers. They forced 12 turnovers. Bo Pelini tied a school record the first time he was here with 47 turnovers. 47 turnovers. What, optimistically, I don't think you can go from 112 to 8 in the country on defense. Optimistically, though, if you're out there, we'd sure like to get your thoughts on this. 1-888-455-3776, or shoot us an email, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Doug, spell out the word and, daddy@espnsuperstation.com. Optimistically, where do you think Bo Pelini can take this defense as far as national ranking wise this year. You got to remember, people, this year, when you got Mark May out there, who's not a Nebraska fan, he makes these predictions. And everybody's going to start, that's going to be the big talk. That is going to be the big talk. When you start looking at, what do you think Nebraska's record's going to be? And everybody's going to start breaking down this Husker season. Everybody's going to look at those first three games and go, you know, even some people, even Doug at times says, Western Michigan, San Jose State, those are bowl teams. Those are good teams. They're better than Ball State last year. Well, I don't think we're going to give up to 40 points to a team like Ball State with this defense. I don't think that's possible. And I think people got to realize that right off the bat. Derek, we go to the phone lines.
Yeah, I think this is Jay from Harvard. I think we easily crack the top 40, by the way, in defense next year.
Jay, what's going on?
It's Dave.
Hey, Dave. Sorry about that. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, I think what we're missing the point a little bit on is that the tradition's back and the foundation is set. We're back to where you can't build a house without a good foundation. I think that's set, regardless what our record is next year or two. We're the Huskers again instead of Callahan, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I think the boys are back in town, and I think that's a great point. Dave, when you look at this record, what do you see this record being?
I can see us getting 8 wins.
You know, I think 8 is a major. You know, I think if you're Bo Pelini out there, you probably say 9-3, we would be pretty darn excited. But 8-4, thanks for the phone call, Dave. 1-888-455-3776. I think, yeah, 8-9 wins is 10 out of the question. Everybody says, well, you got to go to Oklahoma. That's a loss. Virginia Tech's going to beat you. That's a loss. And at Texas Tech, Graham Harrell, obviously Michael Crabtree coming back, that's a loss. Those are your three losses. They're just automatic. Everybody says, well, Missouri and their top 10 team. Okay. Yeah, Jeremy McClain, they bring the 10 people back. Folks, I know they haven't brought a Missouri team that's been ranked top 10 in the nation to Lincoln in the last 30 years. I know they haven't brought an animal like this to Memorial Stadium in the last 30 years. Nonetheless, they haven't won in Lincoln in the last 30 years. 15, 16 times they've tried. They've went home with an L behind their name on the way out. I don't count Missouri as an automatic loss. I refuse.
And Memorial Stadium, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Don't you hold serve at home?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
and
the old Nebraska
Huskers,
team.
Yeah, if you're the Huskers, absolutely.
I mean, you go back over time. Yeah, you know, the Nebraska Cornhuskers would have lost some games at home. Washington comes to mind, Florida State. You know, there's been some teams that have taken care of business, and it's one of those situations where I think you look at this and think Virginia Tech, Missouri, you know, those are two things right there that in the first five games, Bo Pelini's got a chance to get a signature win for this program, something I contend that Bill Callahan didn't do in 4 years. Something I contend didn't happen in 4 years under Bill Callahan. And people say, well, he won that Alamo Bowl against Michigan. You know, Michigan didn't want to be in that Alamo Bowl. They stated that before they even left Ann Arbor. They thought they deserved to be in a better bowl. They wanted to be in a better bowl. They got slighted. They were 12.5 to 13.5 point favorite going into that game. Didn't play up to expectations. And Nebraska played a whale of a football game. Okay? That's not a signature win. We're going back to the phone lines.
Joe from Donovan on the line.
Joe, what's going on this morning?
Not much, but I was going to say I think the record probably be about 7-5.
7-5, interesting. Do you chalk up the Missouri as an automatic loss this year?
I do.
Virginia Tech, I guess you're going with?
I think Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Virginia Tech, yeah.
Those five. If you're gonna take the 7-5 deal, the games that stand out happen to be Virginia Tech, Missouri, Texas Tech, which will be a terrible deal. Thanks for the phone call, Joe. I appreciate that. Nebraska would fall to 3-3 on the season and would be really backpedaling and really struggling to come up with some good things. I think you got to count the first three wins, but then you hit that stretch: Virginia Tech, Missouri, and at Texas Tech.
Husker football struck a nerve here. You got Bill from Deschler on the line. Now you got the phone lines behind me lighting up here, Daddy.
Bill, what is going on?
Hey, buddy.
I'd vote for you. Get rid of Hillary, guys. Who you're talking. Hey, I can tell you this much. We aren't going to play to keep it close. We're going to be playing to win the ball game from now on.
I you know what? I think that's a new attitude that's going to have to come back a little bit. But I don't think we're going to be behind by 21, 28 points and have to throw it every down either.
Yeah. Yep. That USC game was terrible the way he coached just not to get beat too bad. I guarantee you, Bo will not coach like that.
Bill, appreciate the phone call. Another great thought, because I think when you're looking at breaking things down, I think it's going to set up to be so vastly different this year, and I think it's an exciting time in Husker football when you look at it. I think that Virginia Tech and Missouri, I think Nebraska has an opportunity to win not only one, I realistically think they have a shot to win both of those games. Virginia Tech's going to have to score points. That's something Virginia Tech's not known for, putting up 45 points. I mean, you're not getting a high-flying offense in here. Now, defensively, they're pretty damn good. Let's not hide anything there. Derek, we're going back to the phone.
Back to the phones. John from Kearney.
John, what's up today?
What's happening, Daddy? You should be in your boat fishing, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
I agree. Hey, you know, with Virginia Tech coming in, Brandon Orr is out at Virginia Tech. You know that.
Yes.
And the whole thing with Texas Tech, I'm sorry, we have a little bit of thing called vengeance on our mind with a 70-10 loss the last time we played them. I see 9-3 out of the Huskers this year with a possibly a really, really good game with Oklahoma. And I just think we're going to do really, really well. Like I said, we may not win that many games, but we are not going to get hammered like we have been the last couple years. So anyway, that's it. I'm out.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the phone call. 1-888-455-3776. Always like to get your insight on things. We got four away ball games. There are four road games this year. And I think Iowa State and at Kansas State. Now, granted, Josh Freeman is one of the quarterbacks coming back in the Big 12. You look around the Big 12, Oklahoma, Bradford, Graham Harrell at Texas Tech, Chase Daniel at Missouri. You got Cody Hawkins. You've got Sparky Reesing. Yeah, I said Sparky. If you go back to Desmond Howard going to Kansas University, Todd Reesing, you've got some great playmakers coming back. Joe Gans seems to be what doesn't fit. You've got Apple, Orange, Pear, all these starters coming back, and then you've got Airplane, Joe Gans. Well, he's a pretty darn good quarterback, and I think he showed that the last 3 weeks. I wish, if a job hadn't been promised to somebody else, we would have gotten to see Joe Gans a little bit more often.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people feel that same way. Maybe see what the kid could have done. But I think that was taken care of well in advance. Joe Gans was never going to have that starting job as long as Sam Keller was healthy. But that's another discussion for another day. Derek, we've got to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to have Kurt McKeever when we come back. We're going to talk a little Husker baseball. Later in the show, we're going to hear from Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report. We've got Bo Pelini's Big 12 press conference from yesterday. Some interesting thoughts from him. He breaks down everything from seeing so many spread offenses in the Big 12 to what he thinks of Cody Glenn moving to linebacker, et cetera. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
AGP Corn Processing has immediate openings for material handlers. This 12-hour fixed shift schedule offers every other three-day weekend off. Starting wages $13.86 per hour, increasing to $14.86 after probation. AGP offers an excellent benefit program, matching 401k program, and competitive pay. The position includes truck and rail car loading, material handling, light maintenance assignments, and plant sanitation. Candidates must pass a pre-employment physical, drug screening, and background check. Applications are available at the plant at 2801 East 7th Street or at Workforce Development in Hastings. Selected applicants will be contacted. No phone calls, please.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Kansas City Royals come home to begin a six-game homestand, starting with the Cleveland Indians Tuesday night. Our pregame at 6:35. First pitch is at 7:10. The Nebraska baseball team has a pair of games against Creighton this week, in Lincoln Tuesday, and at Rosenblatt Stadium Wednesday, both at 6:35. Then it's off to Baylor for a three-game series beginning Friday night. For the UNK baseball team, they continue their nine-game homestand Tuesday, hosting Northwest Missouri State. Then Regis will come in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hastings College baseball team wraps up their regular season this week. They will be taking on York Tuesday, hosting Doan Friday, and off to Concordia on Saturday. In softball, UNK wraps up the regular season this week. They're at Chadron State Wednesday and host Colorado Springs Saturday and Sunday. Hastings softball will be at Midland on Wednesday and host Nebraska Wesleyan Friday. Nebraska softball will host North Dakota State Wednesday, Texas A&M Saturday and Sunday. And that's a Sports Minute.
I'm Drew Anderson with the Cincinnati Reds, and you are listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 70. Winds will stay variable from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see clear skies, lows near 43 with some increasing clouds overnight. Chance of shower and storm activity develops Wednesday with a high around 70. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
All right, back. Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio, 1460. On your AM dial, 1550 to our great friends in the Hastings area. You want to catch all your favorite sports on TV? One place, the Chicken Coop. Not a bad seat in the house? One place, the Chicken Coop. Great food and drink specials every night? One place, the Chicken Coop. Check out the Major League Baseball season. All the games are on. The Chicken Coop, they have all the games all season long. You watch baseball from every seat in the house. While you're there, grab one of the Coop's great burgers. Coops are 7-ounce ground chuck seasoned patties, onions, topped with lettuce, tomato, pickle on a toasted Kaiser bun. Served with either fries, potato salad, coleslaw, or baked beans. The Chicken Coop features the mushroom burger, the patty melt, the total jack burger, or the bacon burger. Start your meal off right. Appetizers like cheese pleasers, garlic shrimp. Check it out today. The Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Not a bad seat in the house. Get there today. Well, right now we're set to talk a little Nebraska baseball as they get ready to take on the Creighton Blue Jays the next two nights. Obviously, weather putting off one of those games earlier in the season. They will make that up tomorrow night at Rosenblatt Stadium. We're pleased to be joined by, I call him the main beat writer at the Lincoln Journal Star for baseball, Kurt McKeever, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kurt, thanks so much for letting us catch up with you this morning, and good to have you on.
Hey, Daddy, why aren't you outside working on that sweet jumper today?
Shirt off in the park.
Oh, wow. Scaring all the
kids.
I saw
a guy riding his bike the other day without a shirt, and it just reminded me of why I keep mine on.
Kurt, it should be finally a great, great day for baseball. Boy, you take Saturday out of the equation. The Huskers haven't had all that great of weather for these games.
You're right about that. I mean, even I went out to Stanford and it was cold. Down in Texas, it was supposed to be 80, and I think by the time we were leaving on Sunday, it was 80. Yeah, you're right. The weather's been not very conducive. It's not baseball weather.
Kurt, talk a little bit about this team, and I don't think anybody that said they saw this coming, well, was here and saw the end of last year, saw the pitching and the absolute lack of depth, the lack of starting pitching entering this year, to where they are now is really unforeseen by anybody, really, wasn't it?
I think it's unforeseen by Mike Anderson and by his pitching coach, Eric Newman. I mean, they saw flashes of some talent, I think, in the fall, and you can talk about, you know, how you think these guys are going to perform, but until they get out there in February, March, and April, I mean, you just don't know. And, you know, the way Dan Jennings has come on, the way Thad Weber has performed really in his first year, and a guy like Aaron Probonik, who nobody knew anything about, you know, pitching is I think they knew that pitching would have to come through for them, but this is beyond anyone's imagination.
Kurt, how much of that is to what Eric Newman has been able to do with his staff?
That's a really good question, Daddy. I mean, I don't know exactly for sure, but I know those kids respond to Eric. I'll give you an example. The other night, Eric Byrd, you know, got a start against Wichita State, and he's coming off of just a horrendous outing where everything he threw up got mashed. I think he faced nine guys and seven of them got hit. And, you know, before the game, I think Nebraska is just hoping to get two, three innings out of him against Wichita State. But Newman is coaching him in the bullpen, which is it's a rarity for any kind of pitching coach to actually do fundamental drill work when your guy's warming up to get ready. And he's standing there right beside him, saying, you know what, you're flying out with your elbow, and I'm going to stand 3 feet away from you on the right side, and if you do that again right now, you're going to hit me in the face, and I'm not going to be very happy with it. I mean, just little things like that. And you know, he seems to get his point across really well, and I think those guys respect his knowledge. So, you know, I would say on the pitching mound, they're maxing out, definitely.
Kurt McKeever from Lincoln Journal Star joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kurt, I think that's an interesting article you bring up about Eric Burden in today's Lincoln Journal Star. Talk a little bit about, you know, him and his demeanor, I guess, and those guys talking in the Oklahoma State dugout, like, what is going on here? And actually having a chuckle about it during the game. Everything they hit went through holes.
Yeah, it probably wasn't too funny at the time, but when you get done with it and you get your butt kicked like that, I mean, what else do you do? You know, it happened to them to start the season. They're out at Stanford. They're down 17-0, and you know, they put on a little bit of a rally, and you know, you're thinking big deal, but that carries over to the next game, and lo and behold, they win game two on the same day. You know, same thing happened at Oklahoma State, which Oklahoma State, I think, is a team that is kind of flying under the radar screen right now. I mean, they have two very good left-handed starting pitchers, and their bats are getting going. So, you know, watch out for them as you get into May. But, you know, Nebraska came back the next day, and it was like, all right, we got killed. Let's go back to work. And you know, they salvaged coming home from that series, you know, and it set up what turned out to be a pretty important week for them last week.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Three Big 12 series remain. Texas A&M and Nebraska have separated themselves, for the most part, from everybody else in the Big 12. If Nebraska is going to make that the critical series when A&M visits Lincoln, do they have to have a sweep this weekend of Baylor?
Oh, no. I mean, they Nebraska is going to have to win series if they want to win the Big 12, you know, regular season title. There's no question. I mean, I wouldn't count out Missouri yet either. If you look at their schedule and where they're playing and their pitching is as good as anybody's in the country, at least starting pitching and having a closer. But Nebraska needs to win series. I would say that, and they're playing at a place, you know, where Baylor's coming off getting swept. They've probably underachieved as much as any team in the Big 12. I mean, those guys, if you look at their lineup, I mean, they have studs all the way through their lineup, and I haven't paid close attention to what's going on there this year, so I don't know, but I'm surprised that Baylor isn't in this race right now either. So it won't be easy. I mean, the last team to sweep Nebraska was Baylor in 2006, and so and Nebraska was playing pretty well at that point. So you know, I don't think they need to sweep now. You know, if they don't sweep and A&M gets another one, then all of a sudden you're looking that you need to sweep A&M when they come to Lincoln.
Yeah, something's going to be awfully, awfully difficult to do, especially the way they're playing right now. Kurt McKeever from the Lincoln Journal Star joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kurt, obviously Nebraska's put themselves in a great, great position right now to host that regional, which obviously gives, with the Husker home crowd, the ability to move on and advance to a super regional and give themselves an opportunity to get back to Omaha. Is that realistically, when you look at this team, are they a team right now that ability-wise can stand up with those seven other giants in Omaha?
You know, if you're asking if they get to Omaha, I think they're up against it. I don't think this isn't a 2005 team that had a Jobber Chamberlain on it. You know, Johnny Dorn, who won 12 games as a freshman. They don't have a Zach Kroenke, a Brian Dunsing. You know, that team even had Brett Jensen on it, who at that time was kind of coming into his own as a closer. You know, Tony Watson was on that team, and he wasn't even good enough to, you know, break the rotation. So I think that shows you where they were pitching. I mean, that team, I believe, had like a 2.6 something ERA, which is in college baseball is just ridiculous. They also had, by the way, the college player of the year in Alex Gordon.
He was okay.
You know, Curtis Ledbetter was an all-conference first baseman. I think Joe Simikaitis was probably as good a shortstop, probably the best fielding shortstop ever to play at Nebraska. And you throw in a guy like Daniel Bruce, who was a senior, and Andy Gertz was a young buck at that time. I think they had Ryan Bohannon on that team. And that team was as close to national championship caliber as I've seen at Nebraska, and I've been watching these guys since, you know, the early 90s, late 80s. The 2001 team, those guys got there because they could hit. I mean, Dan Johnson hit 25 home runs that year. Nebraska has 20 as a team this year. I think Johnson was like a finalist for the Player of the Year award. But if he hadn't have been, then they had a guy named John Cole who hit, you know, 418 or so, and he had power and could steal. He was an All-American. Matt Hopper was an All-American designated hitter. And oh, by the way, you had Shane Comeny winning 14 games that year. You know, the 2002 team just got hot. I mean, they were pretty good, you know, just a balanced team. They hit for average. They had a pretty nice staff throughout. But really, outside of Comeny, and Aaron Marsden was kind of blossoming, they didn't have just a bunch of dominant guys on the mound. They just got hot. They did have a guy named Jed Morris who, you know, he banged out 20-plus home runs. I think Jeff Lisey was an All-American that year, a guy who could hit for average, power, and steal. I think Daniel Bruce might have been a freshman All-American on that team. I'm not sure. But, I mean, if you want to compare those guys to guys on this team that are playing at that level, well, I mean, Dan Jennings on the mound is at that level. Mitch Ubeda, the catcher, he's hitting 357. He's got 7 home runs. He's at that level. Bryce Nimmo, the center fielder, really good defensive center fielder, hitting 344. He's at that level. Outside of that, I don't think Nebraska has guys playing, you know, that way. But does that mean they can't get to the College World Series? Absolutely not. If they're at home, I mean, they have some magic going at Haymarket Park, and they're also a team. They make you beat them. I mean, I think against Kansas last weekend, no errors the entire series. I mean, most teams aren't capable of doing that. Nebraska could do that regularly. I mean, I don't think they do it every weekend, but they just don't beat themselves. They're not an impressive hitting team. If you looked it up, I think you'd see they're eighth or ninth in the league. They don't score very many runs. They're last in home runs, so they don't scare you. But you know what? They don't strike out either. They get guys on base, and they play for a run an inning, basically. If they get 6 or 7 runs, they think they're going to beat you. And, you know, that doesn't make them dominant, but it's hard to argue with what they're doing right now.
Kurt, at 28-7, who in your estimation has provided the leadership for this team?
Well, I don't think it's just one guy. I mean, I think a guy like Bryce Nimmo has stepped up a little bit. Jake Opitz is definitely the you know, in-your-face kind of leader. Craig Corston, a senior who's playing first base for the first time in his career, by the way, and doing a pretty good job. He's done it. But you got younger guys, too, like DJ Belfani, who's not having a very good year by his standards. You know, he's a sophomore. He's not afraid to say things. You know, Ben Klein's getting regular action at shortstop. He's a little quiet, but he's kind of trying. He's at least trying to lead. Some of these younger pitchers are doing the same thing. So I think that's the key. I don't think there's one or two guys that feel they just have to, you know, step into that role. I think there's 6 or 7 guys that are doing it, and it just makes it easier for everybody to follow one another. And I do think these guys legitimately like playing together. And you know, that might be half the battle.
Well, I think it was most of the battle a year ago and when things kind of unraveled and had off-the-field problems and everything else. But, Kurt, I really appreciate the time you gave us on the Doug and Daddy Show this morning. Look forward to talking baseball with you again soon.
All right, anytime, Daddy.
See you later. Kurt McKeever from Lincoln Journal Star joining us this morning. Derek, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get back on the football talk. Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report. I know he's got thoughts on the spring game. I know he's got thoughts on where he thinks the season's headed. Back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
In a new Chevy Malibu with OnStar turn-by-turn navigation, which comes standard for the first year. If I want to get somewhere, I just push the OnStar button.
OnStar.
I'd like to get to 23 Front Street.
I'll download OnStar turn-by-turn direction.
Thank you. Now, if I was in an Accord or a Camry, I'd press a button, too, for the automatic window so I could ask someone in a new Chevy Malibu for directions. OnStar is standard on 11 Chevy vehicles for the first year. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Turn-by-turn not available in certain areas.
Every stay at Microtel Inns and Suites is more than comfortable, and why wouldn't it be? With a plush, cozy bed to lie down on and new stylish decor to make you feel right at home? Oh, and the free high-speed wireless internet and free local and long-distance calls that allow you to keep in touch when you're worlds away. Plus, you wake up every morning to a complimentary continental breakfast. While your MicroPass card gets you one night closer to a free stay. For quality, affordable, and accessible accommodations, visit MicrotelInn.com.
Golf can be really frustrating, but man, when you hit the perfect tee shot, watch it go down the fairway, land on the green, that's what keeps me coming back. Tell you what, I ran into Kevin Cameron. He's the pro instructor at Kearney Golf Center. He worked with me on the range, helped me find my swing, and now the thrill of hitting that great shot comes more and more.
Golf, like lots of stuff, is more fun when you're better at it. See Kearney Golf Center for lessons. Better game, more fun. Kearney Golf Center, south of UNK at 1800 West 24th.
The right team can make a big difference when planning your personal financial strategy. At Platte Valley State Bank, they understand your needs, know what it takes, and have the resources to get it done. Whether you want online banking, a personal loan, or need investment options, they are ready to help and are prepared to build a financial relationship with you that will truly make a difference. If you need more from your banker, contact Kim Dugan and Bev Stutzman in Grand Island, or in Kearney, contact Mandy Peterson and Marissa Sinclair. The right team can make a big difference, and Platte Valley State Bank has the team that's right for you. Member FDIC.
This year's Fall and Winter High School Sports Podcast on ESPNSuperstation.com will only be available through June 1st, so download your favorites today.
We'll see sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 70. Winds will stay variable from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see clear skies, lows near 43 with some increasing clouds overnight. Chance of shower and storm activity develops Wednesday with a high around 70. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 52.
We're back, Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Check out our Prairie Hills poll in one question. How many games will the Huskers win this year? Obviously, we're back on the football, talk a little football. And with weather like this, mention that Prairie Hills poll in one question. Check that out, and then go check out Prairie Hills, where the new owners, the new attitude, and the remodeled clubhouse meet the challenge of giving you a great golf experience. Call anytime for a tee time. Check out the membership options and opportunities by going to ESPNSuperstation.com. You click on the Prairie Hills logo. You'll be able to see all the pricing for memberships as well as green fee punch cards with or without carts. Walk or drive. I choose to drive. 9 or 18 holes. Kurt, Curtis, and Nick all there to see the new clubhouse, feel the new attitude at Prairie Hills because it won't be long and you'll want to be on the course not just every week, every day. Clubhouse is loaded with refreshments, part of my favorite part of the game. Prairie Hills Golf, 9 or 10 miles north, straight north of Kearney on Highway 10.
And, Daddy, we're back on the football talk here. I go to the Dent Popper inbox. All emails to Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Brought to you by the Dent Popper. The Dent Popper is home of the Arma lining. Whether it's a truck bed, boat, Jeep, even a golf cart, Dent Popper can protect it with a spray-on bed liner. Stop in and talk to Scott or Joel today for a free estimate. This comes from Jeff the Framer. Okay, guys, so what does the average Joe diehard Husker fan expect out of the upcoming season? Judging from what I can hear and see, they may be expecting a lot more than can be delivered. There's There is talent there, no doubt, but doing a total makeover of the defense, even by miracle worker Bo, may take a couple of seasons. I would be very pleased if they became a top 50 defense. If the offense holds up in the end, they can probably go 8-4, but I don't see much better than that. I really hope the majority of the Husker fans do not expect 9 or more wins and a BCS bowl. It's just not realistic given the coaching situation and the overall strength of the Big 12. Perhaps I'm wrong, and I hope Husker Nation does not get their hopes too high. I don't see 5-7 again, but I don't see 9-3 either. The good thing is Bo is in Husker Nation, and he'll have a hell of a lot more patience than with anyone did than with Bill Callahan there. That from Jeff the Framer.
Thanks, Jeff, for the email. Email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. We are joined right now by Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report. He's got all the inside. He watched that spring game. He's watched it 4 or 5 times now, really delved into it. Steve loves spring football. He loves everything that are and is Huskers in Nebraska land. Steve, thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I eat, breathe, and live spring football. That's all I'm about. Screw the regular season. Just give me spring.
Hey, Steve, obviously.
I love green jerseys, man. Those things just get me going.
No live special teams. That fires you up. I can tell.
I tell you what, though. I felt so bad for Marcus Mendoza. That first return went through his hands. Okay, he muffed it. Give him a pass. But the second one, I wouldn't have wished that on anybody. I mean, in front of 80-plus thousand people for that football to doink off his face mask. I'm thinking that's not one of the part of the film review he's going to want to be around for.
No, I think, when he tried to catch that with the old face mask, thought maybe an auditioning for the circus and maybe doing an act with them. But nonetheless, Steve, you bring that up, interestingly enough. Does that become a point of concern that has to be straightened out? Bo Pelini's saying, he's caught the ball awfully well. Was it the sun? What do we attribute that to? Is it a big deal?
If you think back to the great days of Santino Panico and his 2.9 yards per return, but he never fumbled the ball. And granted, you want good field position, but the worst thing you don't want is to turn it over. You're going to touch it. You better hope it goes through the end zone out the back, or you're going to the other sideline, because turnovers, you just can't have those, especially not deep in your own territory. But the problem is Marcus Mendoza does not sit out an island by himself. It would seem that he is joined by a number of receivers who have a few problems catching the ball themselves. And Quincy Gilliland had a great 77-yard reception for a touchdown, showing his agility and showing his speed. But those two crossing routes, the easier catches, you could argue, to make, he didn't make. They went right off his hands. And that's been kind of a theme for me for spring, is that the receivers just haven't been very consistent. They have not. There's not a Maurice Purify there that's going to make every single grab or close to it. And I think that would be a huge point of concern.
Steve, which one of those wide receivers do you look for when fall rolls around to step into that role? We know Todd Peterson, Nate Swift, they're possession receivers. You don't see probably, when you look at those guys, they are great college possession receivers. As far as being top 3 draft picks athletically, they're not there. Who at 3rd and 6th will Nebraska look to go to?
Well, they don't have, at least right now in my mind, that premier wide receiver. A guy that has a chance to be that, in my opinion, is Menelik Holt. Because now he's the same size as Maurice Purify. He was probably about 20 pounds under that when he came in, but he's built himself up. And he had a nice catch in that spring game, a little move he made, shifty on the sidelines to stay in bounds and then put his head down for a couple more yards. Chris Brooks is kind of similar in mold as far as his body, but he's not nearly as physical. And he looked like he was more inclined to go out of bounds, whereas Holt didn't really want to go out of bounds, and he's got very good hands. I'm not going to put the burden of being Maurice Purify on him because, while Maurice didn't have a long time in Nebraska, he certainly made a hell of an impact. But Holt's got everything on paper to be that next guy that on 3rd and 6th,
or even a guy, he's not a burner. He's not going to stretch the field necessarily, but he could be a mid to somewhat deep threat depending on the routes you want to run. He's certainly good on that post.
Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, the linebackers were short going into the game. When you split the crew in half, half to the Reds, half to the Whites, they're even more shorthanded. Were they too shorthanded to show us anything at all on Saturday, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, you combine that with a defensive scheme that was, well, you know, Haagen-Dazs was not that vanilla. I mean, it was pretty, it was about two blitzes and rush up the field and kind of play prevent. You can't, that's the only problem with this type of scrimmage and dividing the teams up like you do. I mean, Joe Gans worked with Mike Caputo at center, redshirt freshman who is, you know, extremely undersized, but a guy that he hadn't worked with a whole lot over the spring. There's just going to be chemistry issues, continuity issues, everybody being on the same page. When you're not game planning for the other team, you're basically running your technique. You're running your drills, and that's kind of what the coaches want because people forget with 80,000-some, it's still a practice. You know, they probably got that right away when they started saw purple jerseys, those little purple pullovers for a special team so that it can review it on film easier. And with the way the mix and match, I don't know if they'd do that again because it was kind of an ugly game. It's a little bit of what you expect, not a lot of great plays. I guess, you know, if you got your first sellout, fine. People will say, that's great, I don't care. But your next spring game, the spring game after that, you'll probably want to, I won't say window dressing campaign, I don't want to see that, but you'll match it up a little bit better so that everybody can be on the same page and that it looks a little cleaner. Because it was a practice, but it was like watching a practice. It wasn't necessarily pretty all the time.
Steve, after spring practice is now over and we head into the conditioning and then the summer workouts, give me three strengths of this team.
Well, offensive line first and foremost. They've not only got size, but they've got depth, which is just an amazing thing for Barney Cotton to have in his first year. The cupboard was not bare, and it is not bare, and it won't be with the guys he has. And a couple of the guys he's got coming in, Ricky Henry, JUCO transfer, the kid that grew up in Omaha, he could be that backup center because right now you have Jacob Hickman. But that offensive line, I think, is very good. Also, I think the secondary on paper is very good. Losing Anthony Blue for the spring was pretty detrimental, obviously for Blue, but I think for the defense as a whole. Anthony is, in my mind, one of, if not the most athletic corners they have. Anthony West is a good athlete. I wonder about his flexibility at the line, being able to turn his hips, backpedal and whatnot. He got turned around by Corinthian Gillen on that touchdown route. I don't think he could have caught Gillen. I don't think there's too many on the team that could. But Anthony Blue's your guy, and I think between him and the depth they have, it's maybe one of your stronger units, as well as safety. You got Larry Asante and Ricky Tenares coming back with experience, both of them exceptionally hard hitters. And I think the thing between the secondary is now that they have one coach for the safety, one coach for the cornerbacks. And, you know, I'm not a coach, but I think that creates continuity. It creates chemistry. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's learning the same language. Everybody's learning the same techniques. You're just applying it in different ways schematically. So quarterback, it's Joe at one, and then you've got 2A, 2B. There's a little bit of a drop-off right now to the second string, and I think that's a bit of a worry. The backfield could be a major strength of the team with Roy Helu, just an incredibly well-balanced kid. But Quinn Castile, as good as he is, he needs to hold on to that football. He shows you so much in regard to his size and his power and his athleticism and his deceptive speed and getting to the corner, but then he coughs up the ball. If he can't cure that, you know, it's going to be hard to put them on the field. So those are some certain strengths. I don't know if the strengths outweigh the weaknesses right now and the things that need to work on, most of those being on the defensive side, but some of it with the wide receiving core. But it's a pretty good team.
Steve, I think when you go back to Bo Pelini's first tenure, and I brought this up earlier on the show, he took the 57th-ranked defense to number 11th in all the land. We've got the 112th-ranked defense. Realistically, how far can he move that up?
Well, it's all going to depend on the defensive interior. They got gashed pretty bad this last year. They got ran over. They got run through. Give Kevin Dixon credit for arriving for fall practice the day before, suiting up, and then having to go in early in the season because Ty Steinkler went down with an injury. But is he the kind of guy that's he's athletic enough. He showed that in a backside pursuit play during the spring game where I believe it was Roy Healy who he brought down from behind. But the size is what I worry about. Ndamukong Suh not being there I think was big because, again, it's a chemistry issue. And you got to have guys that can not only get up the field from the middle, but who can wall off that middle and seal off that interior run game. And that's really going to dictate it. Now, they're going to be better. But, unfortunately, one of the reasons you say that is because it can't get a lot worse. Because statistically, they were one of the worst defenses in the country. You don't want to say that, but when you're in the hundreds, that's the, you know, hello emergency. And it's going to be part talent, part scheme, and that all of that's going to be better this year. They're going to have more experience this year, at least on the front line. They're going to be better. How much better? I don't know. Don't expect 2003. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be considerably better. I think they're going to get more turnovers, which is huge. You know, 8 turnovers, I think, 8 interceptions the team got all of last year. And Bullock in 2003 got all that, more than that by himself. So it'll be better. I just don't know how much better.
Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report. Steve, one weakness as well, before we let you go that's got to be shored up if Nebraska's going to have any success at all next fall.
Defensive line. It's where it starts. It's where it ends. If you're going to have a championship team or a team that's going to win more than it loses, you have to build the lines. They've got the offensive line. Now they need the defensive line. You need to control the line of scrimmage. If you can't control the line of scrimmage on defense, the other team is going to be able to run on you, control the clock, run these 12 to 13 play drives, wear you out, and then pretty soon they're able to do stuff on you at will. And you can't let that happen. You give up the line, you give up the game. I don't care how skilled your linebackers are, how freakishly athletic, or how great your secondary is. If they're out on an island and the defensive line can't get any pressure on the quarterback and can't stop the run, you're screwed. You have absolutely no chance to win that game because your offense, regardless of how good it might be statistically, can't do a lot sitting on the sidelines.
I think you're absolutely correct. You know, another interesting thing, and Steve, we can talk to you all day long, but we had several area kids, Drew Young out of Cozad, Lance Thorell from Loomis, stepped up and played some safety slash cornerback awfully, awfully well. Of course, Tyler Wartman out of Grand Island, Todd Peterson out of Grand Island, some area kids that just stepped up. Anybody impress you more than Tyler Wartman, though?
Well, Roy Healy was impressive, but you expect him to be. You know, you brought up Drew Young, and he's been impressive the entire spring. You put him beside Michael McNeil, and he's not as thick, but he'll get there. He has a great frame, great size, great athleticism. The biggest worry about Michael McNeil and the tight end position, basically, is can he stay healthy? We've all looked and seen him as a guy that can make plays, but he's never been around long enough to be able to realize that potential. But Drew Young, if he can stay healthy, he just got nicked up a little bit over the spring, so I don't think this is quite a trend yet for him. I really like that kid. I don't know what he's going to be able to do with the line in the run game. I have yet to see that really, but as athletically and size-wise and athleticism-wise, I really like Young. Wartman has proven himself. He's paid his dues, and he knows how to play the game. Cody Glenn's going to be an interesting experiment at linebacker. I think he's going to be very good, but it'll probably be midway through the season before he learns the kind of things Wartman already knows when it comes to shooting gaps and the instincts that it takes to play linebacker successfully. But I really like Drew Young. The tight end has completely disappeared for the last 4 to 5 years. And if Michael McNeil stays healthy and Drew Young is a big part of that, I think they can bring it back. And in more situations than gimmick plays, touchdown passes by the punter.
Steve Ryan. Steve, how do people get a hold of your work? BigRedReport.com?
That would be the URL.
Thanks so much for the time. We'll check up with you in a little bit after the show.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Steve Ryan always does great work. Derek telling me we're out of time and we got to get to a quick break. We're going to come back, wrap things up. I promise you some of Bo Pelini's press conference from the post-spring press conference. I'm probably going to be a little bit short on time today. I promise we will get to that tomorrow. He's got some great stuff for you. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
I don't think this is quite normal.
I heard it might even put hair on your chest.
Gee, I never dreamed it could be that exciting.
We'll leave it tuned in and keep someone listening here all the time.
More excitement coming up next when the Doug and Daddy Show returns on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
What do you think? Did that sound convincing?
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
Make sure you're headed in the right direction to Cunningham's Journal. Let Cunningham's Journal be your home away from home. With great specials, it'll be hard to find a reason to leave. With our high-definition TVs and amazing specials, it might even be better than home. So join your friends and head in the right direction to Cunningham's Journal on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. Nebraska weather pays little heed to our best laid plans. And when plans change, you want to know. Listen for school closing and late start announcements brought to you by Fidelke Heating and Air on the ESPN Radio Superstation whenever weather happens. Or visit us online at ESPNSuperstation.com anytime to view closing or late start information. Just click on the Closings by Fidelke link right there on the ESPN Superstation homepage.
This sounds familiar. Oh. New projects require special four-letter language.
Ow!
It's an affliction called hammer strikeitis. But there is a cure. Loctite Power Grab construction adhesives. 9 times higher initial grab than the leading brand. Power Grab eliminates a hammer, nails, even bracing. It's perfect for installing molding, trim, paneling, and more. And protects thumbs from the heartbreak of hammer strikeitis. Side effects include euphoria, successful projects, a happy spouse. Loctite Power Grab, project solved.
If a stiff neck or an aching back is preventing you from working out, playing with your kids, or just enjoying special events, Salon Pause can help. Salon Pause. They're medicated patches that provide fast and sustained relief right where you need it most. No more stiff neck or aching back. Just lasting relief. Get back to enjoying the life you deserve with Salon Pause. Available at major drug stores, membership warehouses, and local pharmacies.
S-A-L-O-N-P-A-S. Salon Pause. Be more active.
I'm back, Doug and Daddy Show, wrapping things up on a Tuesday here. Don't forget all this baseball and softball talk obviously coming up on the show. We'll continue to catch up with area coaches. Allegiant season rolls around. We'll get the Grand Island baseball coaches on, talk about their season and how that's going. But don't forget gloves, bats, cleats, bat bags, Misco's Sports in the downtown Kearney Center. Teams, coaches, doesn't matter, catcher's equipment, hitting nets, uniforms, bases. Oh, you're an umpire? Well, check out their selection as well. If they don't have it, they'll order it in on short order for you. Miscellaneous bats and baseball, softball, every level of play, Little League to Legion, fast pitch to slow pitch. Doesn't matter. Misco Sports is where it's at in the downtown Kearney Center. Check it out today for all your clothing and attire need for the upcoming baseball and softball season. Derek had a great show today. I think people enjoyed it. The Husker talk will continue. Interesting to hear what Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report to break some things down in the spring game and how he thinks overall spring went. Kurt McKeever talked about the baseball team. And Derek, we just happen to have 4 baseball tickets to the Creighton game tonight.
Yeah.
6:35 go time. Nebraska's Dan Jennings takes his 1.6 ERA to the mound versus Creighton's Greg Hilhakee. He's 2-0 with a 4.67 ERA. They're going to do it at 6:35. You know what? If you're heading down, you could use 4 tickets to tonight's baseball game. I think we should just give them away.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, of course, you'll have to come by the station here in Kearney and pick those up. Won't have time to mail them to you or anything like that. But if you're on your way down there, we'd love to give you a set of tickets right now. Just give us a call.
You know what? If you're in the Hastings area, I happen to be going that way this afternoon. I could probably work something out to meet you. I just want the tickets used, and we'll make arrangements with that. We're going to get out of here on the Doug and Daddy Show for a Tuesday. And is that what you want to do, Derek?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Let's do it. Let's close it up.
Appreciate you joining us today. Kurt McKeever from Lincoln Journal Star, Steve Ryan from the Big Red Report. Later in the week, we're going to talk some Loper football as they wrapped up spring ball as well with Daryl Morris. Steve Smith, Baylor baseball coach, as Nebraska gets ready to head to Baylor. Lost a heartbreaker on Sunday. Baylor giving up 6 runs in the last couple of innings, losing in extra innings. One of those things that you don't like to hear, especially when they're facing A&M, and that seems to be Nebraska's main competition right now. 9-3, 8-4, 7-5. What will the Huskers be? Check out our Prairie Hills poll in one question. How many games will the Huskers win this season? That's going to be an interesting topic. Four baseball tickets, 1-888-455-3776. If you're headed to Lincoln tonight, 6:35 go time. Go down and enjoy the game. Should be a beautiful day, beautiful weather. We're looking forward to having Doug Duda back in the studio, and we're going to see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.